This is Murray Yates welcoming you today to Mission Breakthrough.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Mission Breakthrough. Today we are looking at a subject called Angels Forever, and it has been written by Lester Summerall in his book called The Believer's Handbook. When I began to study angels prior to writing this book, I was guided by a theory that I refer to from time to time. I express it this way. God cannot bless ignorance. No, God wants us to be informed, to know what his word says in every field of learning. That theory needs to be applied in the study of angels. By and large, people are woefully ignorant. If you introduce the subject of angels, they may smile a little, recalling some incident involving angels in the Old Testament times, or perhaps in connection with the birth and later resurrection of our Lord. But they have no clear understanding of the role of angels in the past, in the present, or even in the future. I hope that ignorance is going to be dispelled by this book. I choose not to draw many illustrations from the outside, but to deliberately concentrate on expounding the Bible's teaching, convinced as I am that this is the best source of knowledge and great blessing. Such a study of angels is going to stand us in good stead for eternity. Here on earth, we get caught up in transitory things. Our clothes wear out and have to be discarded. The washing machine breaks down or the car wears out and they have to be replaced. Even books and information learned in school soon become outdated. That's not the way it is when it comes to the angels. Angels are not short-term missionaries in God's eternal program. The time will never come when he will turn to them and say, "Sorry, I have no further use for you." Angels will most certainly continue their work of praising and worshipping him throughout eternity. They will always be standing by to serve God in any way he desires. Are you looking forward to seeing angels in heaven? I am. The Bible sometimes describes angels as being like lightning or like the sun, or as having eyes like burning lamps. I want to see them in person and find out through my own observation, and I believe we'll be able to do that. Meeting angels in heaven will, I believe, be one of the greatest sources of joy up there. I think we will know angels just as we presently know people. You see, I believe there will be no strangers in heaven. We won't have to walk up to someone, shake hands, and then ask, "Who are you? Where did you come from?" No, in heaven we will have perfect knowledge, and we will know people and angels instinctively. Our heavenly knowledge of others is going to open up tremendous experiences that will delight our hearts. For example, imagine seeing Adam in conversation with the cherubim God detailed for guard duty in the Garden of Eden. See Genesis 3:24. They will be friends up there, and so will we. What will Adam and the angels talk about? Well, perhaps Adam will have some things he wants cleared up concerning the tree of life. Perhaps Adam will say, "Angels, if you hadn't been there with that flaming sword, I would have sneaked back and eaten some of the fruit." I know an angel might respond, "But that would have been a terrible thing for you and all who come after you, for you would have lived forever in your sinful state." God is so merciful and gracious that he couldn't allow that. He had a much better plan of salvation. Do you think I'm overdrawing what may happen? Perhaps you even wonder if Adam got to heaven. I like to think he did. although he sinned in eating of the tree prohibited to him by God. I just can't believe he continued in his rebellion. I feel sure he got back into fellowship with God, that he walked with God, talked with him, and offered sacrifices for his sin. I look forward to meeting Adam and finding out from him what it was like to be the first of the human race. Jacob in the corner. How magnificent it will be to talk with Jacob in some quiet place about the angel who wrestled with him during the night. I would like him to explain to me the details of that amazing struggle between a man of great strength and an angel of superhuman strength. Jacob, did you expect the fight to go on as long as it did? Did you realize that that would be a turning point in your life and result in a change of names? Perhaps you would rather ask Jacob about his vision of angels going up and down from heaven, as the Bible relates in the account of his vision. I'm sure he would be glad to elaborate. Maybe Jacob himself will want to turn to the angels involved in case he wishes some clarification. Other opportunities. One reason heaven is going to be heaven and eternity is going to be such a wonderful place, it is that we can discuss such tremendous things as long as we wish. I, for example, would like to sit and talk with godly people who lived at the time of the Tower of Babel. What did they think on that day when God came down and confused human languages so that it would be impossible for the building task to continue? And maybe I'll have some other questions after rereading the story in Genesis 11. I want to converse with the people who were there in the Israelite camp when Moses was up on the mountain receiving the Ten Commandments. I want to ask what in the world they could have been thinking when they had Aaron made a golden calf for them to fall down before and worship. How did they feel when Moses returned to rebuke them? As you read the scriptures, you probably come across many subjects on which you'd like more light. Well, in heaven, I think you will get it. One after another, on previous pages of this book, Lester Summerall says he has written about the role of angels in the lives of Joshua, Daniel, and the three Hebrew children. And so he's not going to take space to mention them again here, but you can read it for yourself if you wish to get the book that I'm taking some of the message here today from. So, questions is one of the other headings he uses. Many things we will want to ask the angels directly. How did they feel when Jesus took on a human body and for a while was made lower than the angels? And what were their emotions when Jesus returned to heaven, his work on earth accomplished? I wonder why angels are always referred to in the masculine gender. Why are they considered not so much a race as an innumerable company? Hebrews 12:22. At times, angels have manifested themselves in human form, as we have seen. Do all angels have the power to do that? I think we will find out in heaven. What kinds of questions would you like to ask the angels? Perhaps you will be eager to find out why only Michael and Gabriel are mentioned for us in the Bible, and just how extensive is Michael's authority as the archangel. I think it will be interesting to inquire about how angels reacted when appearing to men. We know some men were afraid, some were awed, and some fell down to worship. But how did the angels feel about those reactions? We know some angels have wings and some apparently don't. Why? In what other ways do they move about? What did the good angels think when they witnessed the rebellion of Satan and watched as perhaps one-third of their number left heaven with him? Did they try to keep those foolish angels from taking that tragic step? Did they suspect something like that might happen when Lucifer began to boast about his beauty and position? What did the angels feel when they watched the Lord Jesus being taken captive in the garden the night before his death, knowing that God's Son had but to speak a word and legions of their number would hurry to his aid? Something God said about angels has always fascinated me. God asked Job, "Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare it if you have understanding. When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy." The morning stars and the sons of God are terms used to describe angels. So we know angels were present at the creation of the physical universe. How did they feel about observing what tremendous acts of our God did? I'd like to ask them, wouldn't you? Then there were eight little words Paul wrote almost as an aside when he was considering the matter of the Corinthian Christians going to court before secular judges to resolve misunderstandings. Paul wrote, "Know you not that we shall judge angels? I believe that will take place in heaven, but why will we judge angels? When? By what standards? What will be the results of our judgment? How is it that God has seen fit to give us that responsibility? What do angels feel about it?" There are so many facts about angels that we still don't know. In heaven, we will surely have our questions answered. And I think we will be simply amazed at all we learn about those fantastic beings God has created. What of the here and now? I have been able on the preceding pages to demonstrate in some measure the reality and ministry of angels to God's people, to you today. As you make your pilgrim journey from this world to the next, let them reach out to you, touch you at your point of greatest need, and fill you with all the joy of heaven. This is Murray Yates, signing off for this week.
shepherd has spoken like the first bird. Praise for the singing, praise.